Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure as always. Gary Moore is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Faithful Financial. Investment experts in the Brain Trust and our good friend, Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Gary, thanks for joining me this week because I wanted you to help us make some sense, if it's at all possible, with what's been happening over the last few weeks, actually. Not just the last few days, but the last few weeks. Everybody was wringing their hands for a long time, Gary, about the possibility that the United States had a housing bubble.
Yes.
But I didn't hear anybody wringing their hands about the fact that the world might have a stock bubble. What do you think?
Well, actually, there were some. I followed Sir John for a long time, and I remember, I think it was one of his top portfolio managers, and I don't recall specifically, but they told me they thought that Alan Greenspan would go down as one of the poorer Fed chiefs in history, simply because he had created an awful lot of liquidity. This was in the late 90s,
right.
that had fueled the bubble in the tech stocks.
Yeah.
Then, of course, that money, when the stock market broke at that time, moved into housing, and people came down here. And I'll give you an example. We have a place called Longboat Key, and at one time I remember a realtor telling me that something like 90% of the new condos that people were buying, they were buying for cash because they'd taken the money out of the dot-com bubble.
Right.
Of course, what that did is created a bubble in waterfront housing.
Right.
And then that crash has broken and moved into other residential to a certain extent. And then, of course, when that money didn't go in real estate anymore, it started going back into stocks, but principally the emerging market stocks, Jim.
Where we recently had a panic.
Yeah, China and India, yeah, but people don't remember. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, those markets are up between 300 and 400% the last year or two.
Exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable, and now everyone seems surprised that they'd come down 5-10%.
Right.
And, you know, that's just got to happen when you have that kind of inflation. But the real problem is there's just too much money floating around the world. These sovereign wealth funds, you know, they were talking about.
Remind the audience what a sovereign wealth fund is.
Well, that would be like money if the a lot of the oil, of course, in the Middle East, just to use the most popular example, is the money gets shipped out of the Middle East, and a lot of people don't remember that government-type entities own that wealth. And
right.
So all when they get paid in dollars, all that money goes into a huge fund, and that's where Merrill Lynch and the guys are now going to get that money back to capitalize.
Not from private investors, but from the sovereign wealth funds or from the states.
That's correct. Like
Saudi Arabia. Not from Saudi Arabia investors, but from the government itself.
Or from China
or from Dubai or wherever.
Yeah. And so the irony is with all of this lowering of interest rates, I mean, the Fed does that so it can pump more money out through the banking system. And it's almost as if the world is in this terrible hangover, economic hangover, Jim, and we've decided to keep on drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the issue is, you know, one of these days we have to sober up, stop printing so much money around the world, live a little more within our means, and, you know, do it the old-fashioned way. But we're trying to do it all these esoteric new ways, and we're just basically in uncharted territory, Jim, and that's
I think you're right, and it seems to me that some of the things that the government, our government, is looking to do is to give the drunk another drink.
Well, that's exactly what we are doing. And the question with this
stimulus package that they're talking about, I mean, we got an economy that, as you say, that's coming off of a 10-year drunk, and we're gonna give them more liquor.
Yeah, but the really important thing to understand for your listeners, Jim, is that it's kind of important here to differentiate what we call the financial economy from the real economy.
Wall Street from Main Street.
Yeah, and we sort of hit on that and discussed it the last time I was with you, but today it's probably more crucial importance than ever before.
I'm glad you said that.
What I was going to tell you is the one guy that I follow after Sir John stopped talking to me about the economy, because, you know, he's 100 and he just doesn't get into that stuff anymore, is a guy named Jeremy Grantham, and you can go to www.gmo.com, and he's been concerned about this for quite a while. And his stuff is worth
Gary, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back after these messages and let Gary talk to us some more about this, folks. This is important stuff and some great perspectives for this time from our good friend Gary Moore. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
There's nothing small.
Well, back at 17:02. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, all the different ways you can listen, the live show, the daily replay, the archives, past interviews, including the ones we're doing today. Lots of different ways you can listen, streaming, by podcasting, whatever you like. And, of course, those of you who are listening on the radio across North America, thank you for that, and a special thanks to our radio affiliates who take our show, the highly intelligent members of the radio industry, obviously. And, of course, at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can find my newsletter, the blog, all the other stuff there. And, of course, don't forget to check out askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. Gary Moore is our guest. He's our good friend, and we're talking about the difference between Wall Street and Main Street. And Gary, one of the things I've been saying is that Wall Street is the tail. That Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street. It's the tail on Main Street's dog. And it seems to me for the last while that the tail has been trying to wag the dog. And
that's
what
we're worried about.
But I don't see a lot of other people worried about it. I think I hear a lot of people acting like that's the way it ought to be. And Gary, I believe that nobody on Wall Street can do anything until a guy like me makes a sale on Main Street.
Well, let me give you a metaphor that I use. Visualize a pipeline, Jim. On one end of the pipeline is people with excess money, retirees in Florida and so on, who don't want to use that money in a capitalist economy. At the other end of the pipeline, there are people who need that money, who have good ideas, productive ideas, good for society. They just need the capital. Our job used to be in the middle of that pipeline. We were like a little motor that kept that money
flowing. When you say we, you mean?
Wall Street.
Okay.
When I was born, Jim, this GMO.com site I was telling you about says that in 1950, when I was born, that financial services accounted for 2% of our gross domestic product. Today, it's almost 10%. So what has happened is, and if you can visualize, is we've seen, as a little motor set in the middle of this pipeline, we've seen all this money flowing past, and it's almost as if we've decided to put little spigots along the way. Mm-hmm. And we're now to the point where, as you say, the tail is 10% of the dog, and crucially, it's always been important that our banking institutions be strong, because the economy and therefore the stock market is the way it's supposed to work. You have strong financial institutions, then you have a strong economy, and then that translates to a strong stock market. Depends on those banks having plenty of capital to put into productive purposes and employ people and so on. But today, what we've gotten so worried about is we have plenty of money out there, Jim. It's just nobody has any confidence in Wall Street anymore. It's like we've forgotten what this is really all about, which is the production of goods and services. We think money is just a way to make money, and getting that money is just a way to make more money, and we've forgotten what it's all about. So,
and the people that you're talking about, when you say we, You're talking about people who aren't really adding any value to the marketplace. They're securitizing securities in order to make fees.
Well, that's the interesting thing about this report at GMO.com is a financial services company actually suggests the country would be better off if about half of us in hedge funds and securitizing securities and all this kind of stuff would go out and find a real job. And that's pretty hard thinking to find on Wall Street. But they're probably right, Jim. And what that means for small business owners, of course, is that if you got a large credit out due to a small financial services company or small bank or whatever, you just might want to make sure you're a little more careful these days, because a lot of us are probably going to go out of business, just as here in Sarasota.
And when you say us, you're talking about the financial industry.
Yeah, but about four or five years ago, we had too many realtors down here, Jim.
Right,
and that economy got out of balance, and today probably half of them are looking for a job that they can really do something productive with, and it'll probably be the same for us on Wall Street in another couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hear what you're saying, but so this brings me back to the bailout the government's working on.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I know that a lot of people would think that I would be in favor of this, but it just seems unseemly to me for the government to be doing what it's talking about doing.
Well, what they're trying to do right now by lowering the short-term interest rates. Remember, the Fed can enact.
And I'm not talking about the Fed now. I'm talking about the economic stimulus package.
Yeah, and that's largely politics. People are saying you have to do something, so they're trying to do something, and basically they can't really do anything that's really going to help, Jim. I mean, the horse is out of the barn. But, there's political pressures, and they have to, deal with the realities of that
politics. And it's an election year.
And they're trying to do as little harm as possible, and that's about the best economically you can hope from political leaders. And, there's just so much they can do in an economy of 300 million people. But long story short, what the Fed is trying to do right now is lower interest rates on your CDs and so on, so the banks can rebuild capital. The hard news, bad news there, is for those who have been saving, prudent and saving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're, in essence, at the time when we should be encouraging people to save, we're, in essence, lowering the rewards for actually doing so.
Right.
And that's the irony of all this. The other irony is, my guess is, the dollar took a pretty good tumble yesterday. And it's going to hurt. And, it's going to hurt for people who
it's
are
gonna hurt us.
Buying
it's going to hurt us on oil and all that kind of thing. Yep,
exactly.
Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Gary Moore. More wisdom from our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101, available wherever books are sold. Stay with us. 10 seconds. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, give us your website, please, and tell us where we can find your book.
Financialseminary.org, O-R-G, and you can buy the book on Amazon, just about anywhere books are sold.
Check them out, folks. Faithful Finances 101 is outstanding. Gary, obviously, as a small business owner and somebody who advocates for small business, in some ways, I like the fact that the Fed funds rate went down 0.75 yesterday, and therefore prime's going down 0.75. So prime now is 6.5. That's a good interest rate for small business owners to base their loans off of. Obviously, that's good news for small business, but it just seems to me that what the Fed did yesterday was to bail out Wall Street, not to help Main Street. What do you think?
Yeah, it was largely for that. It was also important. I did see that the 30-year mortgage is now down to like 5.25%. That's going to help a lot of people who need to refinance those floating-rate mortgages.
Yep.
So it does have that benefit, Jim. That's important. We want to remember that. But there's no.
But the timing of it, though, is what got me. I mean, if it was a good idea for what you just said, it should have been done 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they remember the markets had anticipated that and more. There were some who thought they might go a full percentage point. That would have definitely told the world we got a serious situation.
Right.
So they didn't want to do that. But long story short, what they did yesterday was just met what the market had been predicting for the last several weeks. They were going to wait until the end of the month. But then, remember, the Asian markets melted down over the weekend for us.
Right.
And they just had to do something because they knew it was going to be very, very ugly. And the timing, I think they did the right thing as far as the timing is concerned. But I still think that our clamoring on Wall Street for more and more liquidity, again, to go back to that analogy, it's like a guy with a hangover begging for another drink. And sooner or later, that's not going to work, Jim.
On this show, for the last 4 years at least, Steve Forbes has said the Fed has too much liquidity in the economy. We're going to pay for it one day. He's been predicting this on this show all this time.
Steve has been one of the few leaders out there who have been saying what we've been saying. You know, my first book I wrote about Sir John Templeton came out in 1994, and I contrasted the thinking of Alan Greenspan and his mentor Ayn Rand with that of Sir John. You know, Sir John never believes that easy money is good for anybody. You know, he doesn't even believe that you should give money to children. He believes they should make it the old-fashioned way like he did. And so he's not an advocate of easy money, let me tell you. And but you know, Ayn Rand and Mr. Greenspan believe lots of money is good for people.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that hasn't had some economic benefits to America. But what I am saying is I think there's more anxiety and more worry in America today because of this. Think of it, it's almost like you get in a bathtub and the waves get to be too big. And in essence, it's kind of this money that's sloshing around the world, Jim. It goes from one sector, from tech stocks to waterfront condos to emerging market stocks to junk bonds and so on and so on. And all that money sloshing around is making people very, very uncomfortable. And when, in essence, I believe an important part of the economy is like a nice soothing bath. If you can get the temperature just right, it's supposed to be a relaxing thing.
And leave it alone. You know, one thing I think we've learned in the last month or so, Gary, is when the United States was holding up the rest of the world back in the late 90s and even part of this decade, you know, we thought, well, if the U.S. could take a breather, the rest of the world's doing well, and so maybe it could kind of be holding up the global economy. Let us take a little bit of a breather. We've learned now that that's not going to happen, haven't we?
That was the theory that was called decoupling. There was always, traditionally, the world's economy has been seen as a train with the United States being the locomotive. We pull it along. Mm-hmm. And what decoupling means is there was the hope that if the train was going to slow down and we're going to have a recession or whatever, that the other trains now have developed the power, the other cars, that we could decouple from them and they would continue to push the train along. That theory kind of blew up.
And we found and we've learned that once again, the United States Federal Reserve Bank is, Federal Reserve Board is now, is again, the global central bank.
Well, yeah, and it's not quite that simple, but it's incredibly important, Jim.
Yeah, it's more relevant now. Years ago. Hey, thanks, Gary, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Good talking to you, Jim. Take care.
Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen. What a great, some great points that he gave us today. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.